Team, I've just flown in about 2 seconds ago. There we go. I was gliding in from an amazing Wisconsin tour. I will debrief some of it, but feel free to even more kind of participate. But I was so enthused by our chart, right? With 21 Taurus, 6 seconds rising, which is it's the degree at which Jupiter and Uranus will be conjoined next spring. So it's like, oh, and its image is white dove, flying over troubled waters. So we begin that way. Here we go. A video. There's no video, Richard. Are we trying it again with the something?
I can see the video.
Oh, you can.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, my screen is doing something strange. Like I can't type chat messages either.
Try hitting escape, maybe.
What is escape?
On the
The
keyboard.
escape key.
All right,
Escape,
goodbye.
help.
I didn't know there was a button for that. Yeah.
Oh, so you saw the video.
I've got video.
Oh, how odd. I don't know what to say. And the fact that I can't. Yes, never mind. We're all backstage together. But the fact that I can't type in to the chat, what does that mean?
Can you see the chat?
I can see the chat.
Sometimes I've found that you have to just log out and log back in again.
Ooh.
Hmm,
Oh.
that's a
I
little
know.
dull. That's a little
I
dull
know.
to
Zoom is quirky
Oh, right.
sometimes.
All right. Well, some people can see the video, so what the hell? Let's
I'll start it again.
logging out and logging in would be a little dodgy. But we'll see. Okay.
Wade in the
Oops.
water, we did. Wade in the water, children,
Now it's
wade
all
in the
gone.
water. God says gonna trouble the water. Wade in the
Oh, okay.
water.
Oh.
We are a new generation from the wild.
So that there we go. I'm having quirkitude, can't exit the big screen. We'll see if I can share. So I just wanted to show you my host Jerome. Here I am at the airport. But so this is Jerome McGeorge, one of the co-founders of Organic Valley, which is an amazing place. And he had booked me into Viroqua, Wisconsin, which one of the denizens calls the Sedona of the Midwest. It's a humming place, and it is about, the land calling people who then are very connected, deeply connected to the land, which then, calls more people. And it's a quality that we want to explore of Pluto and Aquarius, positive communities. Because I ran into people in Viroqua said, 20 years ago, I with long hair, it would have been too scary to walk into town. And now it's this haven of wonderfulness and all kinds of things. And as we drove, this is me at the airport about to miss my plane, but I didn't. But anyway, but and with Jerome and I, he really wanted my hat. He really wanted my hat, and so I bestowed it upon him. There's other pictures of us too, and he really wanted that hat. And I go, I bestow this upon you for your organizational. He said he dusted off organizational skills he hadn't used in 30 years. So every moment was scheduled. It was like, so he's Aries, I'm Libra, right? And so every now and then I would have a tantrum yoga, like, no, I'm not, and then we'd do this thing and it's like, oh, it's really pretty great. So as we toured Organic Valley, huge interesting facilities. I'll send some pictures tomorrow in the notes, and Chaseburg, where all of the Organic Valley butter is made. Everywhere, just there it is, and but everywhere the Organic Valley Cooperative had created community. They work with the Amish, they work the thing, they have the Black Farmer Project in the South. But as we drove through, these parts of Wisconsin, that they were thriving and people were thriving because of Organic Valley. And just to say the Jupiter Uranus, the liberating power of wealth in terms of people as well as, that in the last 7 years, apparently their marketing person, who was very funny, I mean, there's all aspects to this. She said, oh, they insisted on the barn and the logo. I'm like, oh, the barn and the logo. And she goes, all right, if we have to do the barn, we're gonna own the barn. We're gonna own the barn, like everybody, whenever, and put birds around it and everything. But so when they started, they had 7 years ago, maybe, a million in the bank, and it all goes out to the farmers. And now they have 1.5 billion, $1.5 billion. It's amazing that, and again, it all goes in, it comes in and it goes out. It's how farmers are making a sustainable living. It's really heartening. So there we have, okay, we stop that share. All right, there we go. And then all part of Jupiter Uranus, again, this brewing sense of Jupiter, abundant ingenuity in Taurus with the earth. It's close now, but it's again exact at the degree that was rising when we began this evening, which is so cool. Again, April 20th, 2024, but a huge opportunity, but also just going out in the land, there is real danger. Just a brief, my Wisconsin adventure. I arrived Wednesday, Thursday. The things, my Saturn is opposing my moon in Virgo. There were so many moving parts to everything. And on Thursday, I was going to do the KPFA show from WDRT, Community Radio in Wisconsin. Very impressive and beautiful. And Eddie Nix, one of my guests that day, said, come on, KPFA, because it was fun drive, right? The additional complexity to have it. WDRT had a one, listen up, KPFA, a one-day fundraiser in which they raised $16,000 from a really poor Scrabble farming neighborhood. And it's like, come on. But there's in the micro, maybe there's a lot of macro. So So the technical wizards from KPFA and WDRT, and I was like, oh, well, they connected. And it's like, no, the technical wizards were great. So it's like, oh, so that, you know, yearning we have to have the competent team. And it's like, oh, that's great. And the show was really good. And we made a bunch of money for KPFA. And that was good. And then Jerome had said, and I've arranged a little dinner for 50 people right here, right away. There we go. Okay. And that was more wonderful than I knew, because people afterwards were saying that was the first gathering really since COVID. And that was all the old timers got to see each other and everybody came out and, you know, a lot of, you know, interesting, quirky people. And that was good. And then I can't remember what else we had to do. Oh, Friday then, there's a college that's starting there based on Thoreau, and they have Stanford University backing, and that's cool. And then they had this really cool high school, the name will come back to me, but it's a Waldorf high school. But there are still edgy, cynical teens there. And they were like, oh, and come talk to the water cycle class. No, you don't need to prepare anything. Anyway, so I did sort of meander, but I did have a section in early radio called What I Wish I'd Said Last Week, because young teen in daunting room full of teens, even Waldorf teens, right? But young woman said, you know, well, what kind of activism do you do? And I'm like, God, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to explain. But afterwards, you know, and you can tell me if you've heard this too many times, but afterwards, when I was on the Mississippi River, I think the next day, I can't remember, it's all been so full. I was like, oh no, I have the perfect question, the perfect answer, you know, because I was adding in poetry to their water, because they're the science people and they're testing the amount of everything. And but Richard knows this one, because I told it by an ears after it happened, but it's again these things we have in our pockets. So some years back, there was a water conference in Washington, D.C., sponsored by the Swedish government and Bill Hazeltine, who made a bunch of dough in Gentech. And it was all the world's great water scientists from all over, from every Indonesia and India and America and everything. And one day was sweet water and one day was salt water. And the morning were the problems, which are ginormous. You know, the Indians were saying, if the river Ganges stops flowing, which is, you know, these are, so the morning was problems and the afternoon was solutions. And I'd been invited as a guest. And I go, great, I'm eager to attend this and learn a lot. And the night before, I looked at their website and it said, Caroline Casey will be leading a water blessing ceremony at lunch. I'm like, oh my God, these are like scientists. What am I going to do? And I just want to, it was my experience in Wisconsin and maybe an experience for all of us too, which is again, really flow with it, right? So I'm like, okay, because again, in Viroqua, you know, Eddie Nix was on my show and then I was on his radio show and he was like, we don't really have to show up like on time or anything. I'm like, all right, just relax, right? So I go, these are scientists, all right, what am I gonna do? So I'm gonna form my dedication. We'll speak to this moon Saturn above us now, you know, and I'm going to give them a short talk and a blessing ceremony in lunch. And so they're all eating their smoked salmon and everything. And somebody hands me a bunch of yellow roses. And I go, oh, yellow roses are sacred to Oshun, the river goddess. And we were on the banks of the Potomac River. And I go, okay, this is good. And so I just, you know, tapped my glass, you know, and I said, and they were like, oh, buzz. And I said, in everyone's heart lives the story of the restoration of the waters of life. And they all stopped and they were like, ooh. And then I told them everything I knew in 5 minutes, you know, and I said, here are these yellow roses. Let's all walk down to the river and throw the petals into the river as an apology and as a statement of our willingness to work with water to solve the water crisis. And they all did it. These were important grown-up science people and America's leading cold fusion guy and homeland security people and local cops and everything. Everybody went down to the river and threw the petals in. And that night at the party, you know, the Indian scientist said I am strict science guy, but you gave me permission to be both. And then America's leading cold fusion guy came in and said, well, all physicists are mystics, right? And then everybody at the party wanted to be a mystic. So the next day, I wasn't scheduled, but there was a man there in the middle of the day with a machine that ran only on one tablespoon of gasoline and the rest on water. And again, press, huge, you know, Homeland Security, scientists, everything, you know, press are there, like, oh, and it wasn't working. Right. And I refrained from saying that Mercury was retrograde. You know, anyway. And the cold fusion physicist guy steps forward and goes, maybe it needs pressure. And he leaned on it. Nothing. And I just sensed the moment. And I stepped in and I put one hand on the inventor and one hand on the machine. And I queried the inventor, do you vow that this technology will never be used for war? And he said, I do. And the engine sprang to life, like, blah, blah, boom, right? And the scientists were so happy that it wasn't just them. There we go. So, this seems all pertinent to us right now. I will aspire to show us part of our chart. There we go, just for now. Here we go. All right. Okay, so the chart, our chart of now for fun. Whoops, no, don't do that. Things are easy. We have to talk to everything. So the moon and Saturn overhead, you know, and I got to see them last night, the moon further back, you know, approaching. I was out in the wilds of Wisconsin the last night, in what they call the kettle, because the land is shaped like a kettle. And it's like, oh, there's the moon, and downpour, raining where I am on the East Coast, raining, deluges, so much water. But the moon and Saturn, you know, how to work with water. And the moon and Saturn are making this beautiful conversation to the sun newly in Libra, this equinox time. And we will get you the recording somehow. I'll get to the event because it was really pretty great. And one of our teammates here, Betsy Boone, was there. But the sun right now at 3 Libra, that's the degree where Mercury was when the Visionary Activist show started. It's pilgrims gathered around a campfire, the power of stories. You know, everyone has a story to contribute. This is a big theme. And so this 150 degree angle is a wonderful conversation, right, between deep dedication to working with water and the deep, deep things, you know, bringing them into the culture. We're going to see and feel this in a lot of ways. I love the quirky angles like Mars in Libra. There were tons of astrologers in Viroqua, and we also gave an equinox council. God, it was just so full after the equinox thing. And one of the astrologers said, well, you know, all my planets are in detriment. You know, is that a terrible thing? I go, I think that's colonial aspect of the reality police, right? Just to be creatively suspicious, like, why should, you know, Mars in Libra be in its fall, right? Because it's opposite Aries, the Mars sign. Why should woofiness in Venus's sign, why should woofiness supporting Venus be bad? And I said, I think we can just throw detriment, you know, and any superstitious element of anything that we love into the cauldron. She's like, I feel so much better. And I said, right. I mean, these systems like astrology is not for, you know, or sometimes people say, well, what about, you know, in 2 years when Pluto does this or that? And I go, if you didn't know astrology, would you be worried? No. And I go, then don't be worried. It's not the 5-year fear planner or the detriment or any sneaky way. Anyway, all those things. Back to this. So this is a fantastic thing. I love not only the Pisces Libra conversation, the deep, deep, deep part of ourselves, you know, coming into the Libra realm of creative expression. And we have another one, Mars in Libra, to Uranus and Jupiter. The Libra-Taurus conversation, which keeps happening, which is wonderful within us. You know, these are the two Venuses. The cultural Venus, the deliberate Venus, because the word deliberate comes from Libra, and as many of you know, from two verbs, librare, to liberate, and libare, to balance. So to be deliberate is a seasonal quality that we've just entered. To be deliberate is to be in a state of liberating balance. And Saturn says, yes, deliberate dedication. Really good. So this is cultural Venus over here. This is animistic nature Venus. And once again, you know, for us to experiment with offering ourselves as cultural agents on behalf of what we love in nature. And this was a part of the equinox that we will get to, so that we did on Saturday night with beautiful music. It was, again, many complex things, not sure, not knowing, not having met the musicians before. Beautiful. There really is, like the scientists going, we're so glad that it's not just us. There's something else. So we did a beautiful thing, things that we can expand on and play with, things that I've talked about for years, but like, well, let's do these things. Let's practice. Let's participate. And I told the story of Stella Coyote, and when I first got her, and the Lakota elder on the radio saying nothing smarter, and then this crucial thing. We Lakota did not hunt alone. Those gifted could go into a reverie, the sun is opposite Neptune, and go backstage and negotiate across species borders and work out a deal. And the example he gave, you know, was people would go backstage into a reverie and complex and with manners, like buying a carpet in the Middle East, they would negotiate a working alliance with the wolves and coyotes. And the Lakota elder said, and we would all hunt together for a season. And if you want to destroy the earth, have people forget this skill or mock it, or not even, you know, it will destroy our culture, but also the world. I want to just bring this back into play, because magic, participation, all that we know, working with the invisibles, and the backstage is the way to go. We'll honor in so many things. So we did, you know, we did that with the music, the haunting music, the Tibetan bowls and the haunting violin and the beautiful drumming, you know, just to create a Neptunian reverie, things we might try at home as well as together, you know, and to see like, well, what is it we love, or who is approaching us, and the dedication to be available to mystery and see what shows up, you know, and then, you know, the part of us in antiquity would emerge going, it took a while, but we got a deal. You know, the coyotes want the front left leg and half the liver of every other deer, and the wolves are cool with that. We're okay with it. The deer are okay with it back on stage. So this to and fro, and the beautiful, I'm going to do another little design here just for fun. And so then Jupiter and Uranus quintile, the moon and Saturn, the 72 degree angle of being able to open portals between worlds. So it's really describing this. It's like, you know, the machine is alive, you know, and wanted to be freed from war, you know, don't know what happened later. We have to keep on these things, you know, but that idea of like, okay, we're open to experiment because there is such great danger, and America and its Pluto return, and it's dangerous out there. So how are we agents of cool response in hot reactive world? We'll play with that. I guess another thing I just wanted to point out. Let's think of these two quincunxes. So the moon and Saturn to the sun and Libra. Everybody's got a story. And the moon, of course, is waxing. We're headed to the equinoctial full moon. All around now, this equinox feels really strong, like to cooperate with it. And again, Just the other thing too was where my Saturn opposite Saturn in the sky opposite my moon in Virgo was like, oh no, and every moment scheduled, you know, and like how to craft the Saturday evening and to feel the enormity of what was possible. And the musician, I'd never heard her. She didn't know what I did. We'd been texting and it was pretty good. And then to arrive and go, oh, it's great. It's really great. They did just really reverie, trance inducting, really wonderful to and fro. So our deep dedication, our capacity to open portals between worlds, power of storytelling, power of liberating storytelling, in so many ways. And then just for the fun of it, I wanted to give an example of, well, computer not working, okay, of liberating storytelling in a small way, the kind that we want to, you know, Neptune says reversal, the power of reverse storytelling is really good. So just for the fun of it, this is one of my favorite 2.5 minute examples of incredibly effective storytelling. It's Amar Rahman and reverse racism.
A lot of people don't like my comedy. A lot of white people don't like my comedy. A lot of white people say this to me. Hey, Amar. Hey. Get on stage. You make your jokes about white people. You say white people this, white people that. What if I did something like that, huh? What if I got on stage and I said, yeah, black people are like this, Muslims are like that. You'd probably call me a racist, wouldn't you? And I say, yeah, I would. Yeah, you should never do that. That's bad for your health. They're like, well, you do that, Amir. You do that, you get on stage, you make your jokes about white people. Don't you think that's a kind of racism? Don't you think that's dun 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 reverse racism? I said no, I don't think that's reverse racism. Not because I think reverse racism doesn't exist, right? If you ask some black and brown people, they'll tell you flat out there is no such thing as reverse racism. I don't agree with that. I think there is such a thing as reverse racism, and I could be a reverse racist. If I wanted to, all I would need would be a time machine, right? And what I'd do is I'd get in my time machine, I'd go back in time to before Europe colonized the world, right? And I'd convince the leaders of Africa, Asia, the Middle East, Central and South America to invade and colonize Europe, right? Just occupy them, steal their land and resources, set up some kind of like, I don't know, trans-Asian slave trade where we exported white people to work on giant rice plantations in China. Just ruin Europe over the course of a couple of centuries so all their descendants would want to migrate out and live in the places where black and brown people come from. But of course, in that time, I'd make sure I set up systems that privilege black and brown people at every conceivable social, political, and economic opportunity. The white people would never have any hope of real self-determination. Just every couple of decades, make up some fake war as an excuse to go and bomb them back to the Stone Age and say it's for their own good because their culture's inferior, and then just for kicks, subject white people to colored people's standards of beauty so they end up hating the color of their own skin, eyes, and hair. If, after hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of that, I got on stage at a comedy show and said, hey, what's the deal with white people? Why can't they dance? That would be reverse racism.
So I hope you thought that was charming. It's again, you know, it's power of liberating stories, you know. So we want the animism part, we want that kind of part, that effective reversal, the myriad perspectives, you know, again talking across things, because we want to, you know, pull out everything. So I still can't, I apologize here, I can't find the chat, I can't exit the large screen. I won't go away. That's what it is. So that's part of our skill set. But I do want to Let's see. Does anybody have any advice for me about how to unfreeze my computer so I can exit? No, Richard, anybody?
What are you seeing right now on your screen?
Well, it's everything, but when I push escape, it stays large, so I can't see chat or the other things on my screen.
Do you see the menu at the top of your screen that says zoom.us and then meeting and view?
Yep.
Try where it says meeting.
Oh, exit full screen. No.
Yeah.
No, it won't. It's not responding.
Oh, well, Rebecca might very well be right. I think.
What? Can you all carry on in your jolly way?
If you drag your cursor to the bottom of the screen, that doesn't work.
Wait, say that again.
Drag your cursor to the bottom of the screen.
Yes.
That doesn't work.
It doesn't work. What does that mean?
Well, do you see the chat menu? You just can see it, but it won't open.
No, it won't open.
Can you see it?
No, I can't see the chat. So Rebecca might be right. All right. Well, this is, experimental autonomy. I might leave you all. Aaron, do you talk about Wormwood?
Yeah, we can. Richard and I can talk about Wormwood a little bit.
And you can chat. All right, I'm going to go away.
All right.
Come back.
Yes. We hope that Caroline will join us again shortly.
So Wormwood, it's a favorite of mine because it has, when it's fresh, it's really got a slightly, almost kind of acrid, sweet smell to it. And I used to put it in a dream pillow with Mulin. Just because I like what Mulin does by itself, bronchodilator. And it's a really great herb. Are you growing that yourself, Aaron? You had a big hunk. Are you growing
My neighbor is growing it, and that's where we harvested it. And then just having it seep through the pores of my skin.
Exactly.
Enlightened me to wormwood.
Medicinally, it's a parasitic, meaning it will help kill parasites. So usually it's used in formulations where you have maybe some wormwood and perhaps a little bit of golden seal and some fennel and some other, maybe some marshmallow root as a demulcent, which means it's soothing to the tissues internally when it's an emollient. And that kind of thing where you'd blend it together and put it in capsules is the easiest way to take it. I can't recommend it as a tea because it is frighteningly bitter by the taste. I used to drink a lot of weird stuff. And it's a really nice shrub. I mean, it grows prodigiously if it's in the location it likes, and it's quite hardy. I used to have a cat who would sleep in the wormwood and never, ever, ever, ever had fleas or ticks and lived indoor or outdoor. So it's a fond herb, okay? Oh, Caroline's
now,
back.
Now what's happening?
I spotlit you to find you.
I'm sorry, say what?
I spotlit you so we could find you.
Okay, well, I'm here. All right, I'm back. I'll work with it. That's the nature of things. Like every Saturn thing, and it is opposing my moon, it's like, all right, there we go. It'll be fine. There we go. Okay, this is fine. So yes, myriad perspectives. So Wisconsin, it was the thing I'd resisted was actually this wonderful thing because the Organic Valley and Jerome drove me around, and gave the history of the land, right? So it's like, ooh, whenever we go anywhere, like the history of the place, and we want to call upon the goodness of Wisconsin because it's so pivotal right now in the world, and we'll call upon the statue on top of the Wisconsin Capitol, which I'll show you, but it's a woman wearing a badger on her head. And we go, badgers, right? We're bringing in badgers. We're bringing in everything. We're bringing in Amar Rahman. We're bringing in everything to play. But it was wonderful that, I mean, driving around, and it's what's called the driftless zone, which extends into several states, but it's where the glaciers did not come. So it's how the earth was before glaciers. So it's like, ooh, okay. And people very drawn to that. And then also the political part. So I'd been saying, that after my dad died, I only after did I learn that he was a supporter of fighting Bob I keep pronouncing the right the name wrong. La Follette. That's right, Bob La Follette. Prairie populism, and a Republican who from whom FDR got most of his ideas for the New Deal because they'd been implemented in Wisconsin. We go, oh, this. We want to wed the land and the culture, the land and the culture. And that's happening in small ways in Wisconsin and its extent. And then the whole idea of, you know, community and what will get us through these next 24 years as Pluto enters Aquarius, you know, on January 20th, 2024, for a long time, 24 years. It was only in Capricorn for, I can't remember, I'm guessing, right, 9 years. And it dipped back in. Pluto's where it was, you know, it's the U.S. Pluto return. And it's like, whoa, yes, really. So the history of the land, and then here are these towns that were scrabbly and collapsing. And then the co-op comes and says, would you like to be part of this supportive network? Again, huge amounts of money coming in and going out. And it's vast. I mean, you see Organic Valley, you know, everywhere. But to know it's a really good thing, right? And it started on herbal sacrament money. Anyway, so in this beneficial way, and they had to do what we need to do as well to talk across borders to really conservative farmers and Amish. There was an interesting juxtaposition just for fun, just all these contrasts, you know, as we took a boat up the Mississippi, but it's so drought-ish that it's shallow, so we couldn't go into the side places, but we stopped on a beach, and there were a lot of Amish people, farmers, fishing there and whatnot, in their horse-driven carriages with the women with their tight bonnets and the men, and it's very quirky. But the juxtaposition was, you know, some of us and myself, you know, we went swimming because it's like, this is a good life decision, even though it was kind of cold and drizzly, and it's like swim in the water, you know. White dove flying over troubled waters. But there was this juxtaposition of, you know, me and others in my sort of, you know, I think the Amish had never seen purple hair, you know, and they're driving by clip, 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 clip in there with their horses and the buggy and the women with the bonnets that you have no peripheral vision. It's really weird. And the babies with their bonnets on, so they have no peripheral vision. But so it's me in sort of hot pink swimsuit and purple hair and the horse-drawn buggy, you know, and it's like, oh, but they waved. At first, I didn't want to disturb them. Then I'm like, hello. And they're like, hello. It's sort of a quincunx thing, like, okay, these juxtapositions. But so Organic Valley, you know, had to and continues to develop these skills of talking across borders and finding the common story and going, you know, if we all work together, this could help you. And I met the guy who had come to them and said, how about dairy, you know? And they're like, no, we only do vegetables. And then he's the guy who does, you know, the dairy. And I saw the place where all the butter happens. And then just as a footnote, you know, somebody stopped by our table where we're eating a beautiful lunch at one of the Organic Valley. There's huge, huge everywhere distribution centers. It's amazing in these places in Wisconsin where nothing else had been going on. And now it's really huge. And so, and he brought up this issue for all of us, again, wondering and then ingenious solutions. So he said, well, he's raising lamb and they want to do everything organically and having organic veterinarians is challenging. And he said, you know, when you get to a certain size, you know, how do you have organic wormer, you know, dewormer? And, you know, Aaron had some things to say about that. And it's like but in the sense of for all of us, we're wondering, like, here's a Saturn conundrum. How do we wonder? Because a huge part of their dedication, which I think is important, we had a meeting with the top executives of Organic Valley in which Jerome and I talked about the chart of it and how to play and the storytelling and the power of their storytelling, because their story is a great story. And a primary concern is animal well-being. Because I say that that's the difficult thing. My current thing is I only want to eat things that have had a happy life. And the true joke with people who raise the pigs, I love pigs, and also pork. You know, it's a conundrum. But the way they're raising them is you know, only one bad day, right? That they get to forage in the woods and do all kinds of great stuff. And as we drove around, you know, he said, well, here's where you have it's Trump country, right? Here's where you have the corn and beans. It's Republican, right? And then you can see the difference where you move into like, ooh, there's like everything. And there's bees and things and whatever and all of that. But the sheep guy also said, and I talked about my own local farm that I got off the airplane and picked up my own farm supplies here that gets delivered every 2 weeks. And I go, oh, sheep milk, it's quite expensive. And he goes, yes, but it's the least inflammatory. So it's cow milk, goat milk, sheep milk. People who are allergic to milk can drink sheep milk. And he said it's got so many healing properties to it. I'm like, oh okay. But we did talk about, you know, again, the story of the well-being of the animals and the well-being of the people, and I mean, and the whole community extending to that, you know, and they're that's a big part of their deal. I'm going to talk more to the people in charge of animal well-being as just a crucial invitational story. We've entered this time since we last gathered of Mercury, Elegba, guarding the crossroads, handing the baton to Venus, Oshun, Sweetwater. So from the language crafting and critical discerning of Virgo, now we move into the Venusian, you know, invitation. With all of our critical language skills and word skills and the power of word magic, it's all cumulative, taking it into the cultural realm. So politically, you know, again, as we heard last week and are reminded in the news, that Wisconsin is a really big deal with the Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz, elected by, you know, a million voters, right? And the Republicans trying to impeach her before she's done anything, and it's a big crucial issue. And as Politics Girl reminded us last week, it was one Supreme Court justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court that was the swing vote that prevented the 2020 election going to Trump. So it's like Wisconsin, you know, okay. And lots of, we're looking at, you know, may democracy prevail. That's really the huge kind of guiding dynamic. But again, farm co-ops, community, talking across borders, finding a common way, reciprocal blessing. As so crucial. And I still can't see the chat. Is anybody saying anything wonderful?
Richard and I are talking a little bit about cheese and butter over here, but Lucy did say at the beginning, it is a good time just to show up, meet who else shows up, and take it from there.
That's a good way to put it. And now even my chat option has disappeared. All right. It's Saturn opposing my moon. What?
Look in the more menu, the like dot, 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 more menu in the Zoom window at the bottom.
Well, the Zoom window is at the top, and I look at view. No. No. Oh, show chat.
Yeah, try that.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Yay!
All right.
We'd be
nothing. I still can't get the screen smaller, but this is good. All right. There's everybody. All right. Yes. Lucy. Joe Biden showed up on the picket line. Right. That's. I think that's really enormous in terms of our collaborative thing. And also just to mention too, you know, there were people going, you know, RFK Jr. And I have strong crafted views on the danger of that. You know, and just to remember, you know, from last week also, that when Biden canceled the drilling leases that the former guy had put in for the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, you know, all but one, you know, Sarah James, Gwich'in Elder in the Arctic, you know, just wept with appreciative delight, going, thank you, right? And the people she works with, the Athabascan people and Carol Hoover, were like, so again, you know, it's It's dodgy. And in talking with the people who are like, oh, but RFK, and I go, well, then we fundamentally come down to, you know, whatever's truly best for everyone, come on in. And our word inaugurate from the augur, especially pertinent to us now, the augur would walk out into nature and pattern track, you know, Venus is all about pattern tracking, you know, again, from nature into human culture is part of our dynamic. And nature would reveal who the most responsible human would be, and then they would be inaugurated. So the word has magic to it. And part of what I was putting together for the equinox talk is like the equinox where we step into this still point and dance, the still point of dancing, dancing, you know, everything that's been falsely estranged as a mean trick of the reality police, as part of the sneaky dominance back into accord. And part of it, I realize it's such an important part of my life, is reweaving, you know, politics, what we call politics, and magic, participatory magic, back together. They belong together, and now they really, really need each other. And there were so many good-hearted people at the equinox thing and the council the next day, very early after a 10-minute brunch after, anyway. And they were like, you know, I have four planets in Virgo. I don't know anything about politics or, you know, whatever the thing is. And I go, no, just you making a Virgo altar, your micro dedication to the larger well-being, that's your part. And she's like, oh, that's politics for you, right? So, you know, autonomy is a sacrament. She's like, oh, I can do that. You know, I can do ritual prayer and singing and, you know, inviting in the good. And we go, that's great. Everybody, you know, called to their dynamic, you know, and when we, you know, here we are, the dream news, and, you know, what kind of news? So many newses. And, you know, I track news, and I think it's really important what Lucy brought up, and I have it on my phone right here, that, yeah, Biden showed up today on the picket line. And that's, part of dissolving cruelty and dominance out of the human repertoire, because the, you know, as you know, the United Auto Workers, the deal was in 2017 when the car industry was, you know, collapsing. They were like, we workers will sacrifice with the country to make sure you're okay, right? And we will take these cuts in our salaries and thing. But then now, right, the car companies are making, you know, billions, right? And it's not the co-op that's distributing it, billions. And the CEO of Ford made 29 million, right? And it's like, and the workers are like, hey, Aquarius, right? You know, community well-being, we sacrifice for you. Now you share. Here's the co-op thing again, that we want to see kind of pouring out into the, you know, as sane, reverent common sense, you know, that, and in the co-op, many, many Republicans going, well, this is so wonderful. Cooperating is really good. You know, this into the memosphere. Remember the memosphere of our dream world is the realm of, you know, trickster's first place of influence. And so for everybody, you know, the quality, and it's a question, Moon Saturn says, for everybody to define all these things for themselves, you know, what is the political magical world? But that's why, you know, when I landed, so I landed and they, you know, we went to Jerome's daughter's house and then we drove to the botanical gardens and then they wanted to drive me around the state capitol, which was great, because that's where, I think I can find this person here. Oh no, I'm disabled. I need to be a co-host again, so I can share.
Oh, Richard, can you co-host Caroline, please? Thank you.
I thank you. That's good. All right. So now let me look at this. Where was I even going? I'm in a Neptunian. I'm still on a plane somewhere. Wait. Oh, I know.
Statue.
Right. Okay. This is good over here. Wait a minute. Wait, cancel this. I'll be with you in moments here. That's right. I realize I can't shrink the screen. All right, but I can move it around. All right. Okay. That's good. All right. There we go. All right. There we go. Okay. So this amused me so much that when we drove around the state capitol, you can't see it Very well. We'll see if we can get a better picture. But it's on top of the State House. So remember, you know, Patricia Ewing and I doing our election magic council in 2020 and 2022, and looking at the Statue of Freedom on top of the Capitol, right? And she's really great. She's wearing feathers and all kinds of stuff. And the only other Statue of Freedom like her is on the Georgia State Capitol. And we'd been weaving them together. And remember, it's like bringing things alive. And so I was like, well, what's on top of the Wisconsin State Capitol? And what's fun is so many people don't know, you know, and they're like, oh, we didn't know. So we looked it up, you know, and so it says, you know, the little history of the thing and everything, often referred to as the Golden Lady, allegorical figure reminiscent of Athena, okay, dressed in Greek garb, right arm outstretched to symbolize the state motto, forward, you know, or maybe backward, right? And wearing a helmet topped by a badger, right? That we love this thing. Badger, we're bringing in badger medicine. You know, so Wisconsin needs, you know, the land itself to rise up with sane, reverent common sense. You know, we want the ancestors of Fighting Bob La Follette to rise up. We want the prairie populism to rise up, and the badger. I don't know how many of you know badgers, but badger medicine. And I think of Aaron's mother, one of my best friends in the world, Missy, as very badger medicine, meaning if she loves you and you're in trouble, won't give up. It won't give up. It's won't give up medicine. So I just wanted to, for us all to enjoy the Wisconsin state capitol, Athena forward, a badger on her head, not give up, as part of what we have the opportunity to animate and bring alive. Wait, are you actually seeing her? Did I manage to share this?
Oh, okay. Yes, we can see her.
Okay, all right. I can't tell hardly anything. All right, we're back to that. So we have... coyotes and badgers get on really well, right? So all I started the equinox evening just, you know, because with many ancient things that some of you might have heard, but nobody there, you know, knew me exactly, although it was spooky. So somebody there said, I saw you at Iowa Herb Fest, and I go, that was 2001. And they're like, it was memorable. And I go, that's great. And then there were all kinds of people who'd moved from California to Viroqua, Wisconsin. It's like that's, you know, really, you know, trippy and interesting. Right. And I just so wait, there was something. What was I about to say? airplane jet lag.
Badger medicine.
Badger medicine. Yeah. Well, I think animating that, you know, as part of our. Oh, yes. Thank you. Coyote and badger. There we go. Thank you very much, everybody. Still on the plane. OK. So I love badger medicine, badger and coyote. Right. I started off the evening by saying Stella Coyote and I made up our own creation myth, which is long before there were people. Bodhisattva Coyote sets the whole shebang going with a sizzling of liberating lightning. And this sizzles, this kind of unique ingenuity of nature sizzles in all the plants and all the animals. And every now and then it's trapped or orthodoxed or constrained in some way. So it becomes a great escape artist and a great escapade artist, you know, and moves into all of our hearts now. And with this Jupiter Uranus, and we go, right. So everything has this in it. And that's part of what we want to cooperate with across borders in ourselves and in others. The against all odds, rise to the occasion, rooted in order to rise to the occasion, you know, to meet the danger with all of our unique, you know, contributions. So Coyote and Badger are a great team in nature and mythology and nature. And here's just this so charming. And I think of, you know, our ally Richard as backstage badger. So we're kind of badger and coyote. And this wonderful video really works that. So let's see Coyote and Badger in the wild. That's my favorite part at the very end, where it's like, come on, come on. Right. So, you know, so may we all have coyote and badger on top of the Wisconsin state capitol and forward kind of coming alive and so charming that way. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Erin. Yes, you found a larger badger, and she's holding a globe with an eagle on it, right? I mean, I think there's a lot to work with. That's really, really great. Right. Yeah. So, yeah. And Joe Biden showing up on the picket line, you know, again, all the Midwest to me is sort of exotically mysterious. But now I know more about this little town, 4,000 people, Viroqua, that's like really humming. They all want me to move there. But I was squinting going, no, I'll have the Washington Embassy, I think, you know, but we weaving, it's like, but one of the values, I think, of traveling in our minds, but also physically, is we are weaving these strands of connectivity. So Viroqua, huge. I mean, it was just a huge immersion. I talked to the high school and I talked to the, you know, huge event, and there was a dinner for 50, and then there was an Equinox Council, and then there was a, you know, a brief brunch before that, because we had so much to do out in somebody's exquisite farm that their grandfather had bought after escaping from the Nazis. And they bought it when it was all snow. And when the snow melted, it was a junkyard. And they cleaned it and cleaned it. And now it's one of the most exquisite organic farms and flower farms in this beautiful realm. And their children are all starting seed saving companies. And so it's like there's so much good. Right. And then the connectivity of that is really great. Yeah, the coyote and that's right. Phone 11 said, sorry if I'm causing technical difficulties. No, that's very charming that you thought that. No, it's just quirkiness over here. Team, since we can open portals between worlds, the moon, Saturn, quintile, Jupiter, let me come back to the chart for a moment. Let's avail ourselves for fun. All right. I think this is right. It's not. Oh, this is so strange. But you're seeing the chart now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, it's very quirky over here. Everything. Well, everything truly has a mind of its own. There we go. So, just to honor the quintiles, which I'm so crazy about, 72 degree angle, division of the circle by five. Five is sacred to Venus. Venus forms a five petal orbital design over 8 years. We're in the Venusian realm, and so we look at, well, what's Venus doing? And we go, oh, she's at the degree of crazy drunken chickens. And we go, okay, right, same degree as little asteroid Juno, which is about everyone playing their role, everyone playing their sacred full role. But Venus, all important, because we're in her season, and Elegba has handed the baton, language and critique into culture and kindness. Venus quintiles Ceres, Demeter, dwarf planet, goddess of the earth, moved into Scorpio on September 15th. So it's, again, it's a quintile, our own creativity, you know, and feel free to chat and chime in or ask questions or make comments about how we could kind of play this. But the quintile, the capacity, Scorpio backstage, you know, Leo on stage. Once again, the equinox equal night and day, equal visible and invisible, equal Mars and Venus, equal humans and the rest of our kin. It's this finding our way back into equilibrium, again, that quality of equal and rocking out, you know, going, oh my goodness, and then finding that equilibrium is a crucial phrase. And from that still point that we can find, so what would we want to, you know, invite in each person? And let me just do this for fun to track the pattern. So Venus, 72 degree angle, irresistible eloquence on behalf of what we love, available. Ceres trines the moon and Saturn overhead. And now they're the same degree. Exactly. They're moving into exact conjunction. So it's like, oh, okay. So it's a gathering of very inward creative people right now. is part of the description, like, oh, very inward. And so let me just do this for Venus quintile series. Ceres trines the moon and Saturn quintile Jupiter. So, and Jupiter is at that great degree, retrograde, you know, in the midst of a wild storm, a stranger walks into town wearing a silk top hat, carrying a large black bag, the doctor, magician, controller of natural forces. And that's why, you know, when I showed you Jerome's chart, or Jerome himself, he wanted my hat, right? It served as a large top hat, and I did bestow it upon him, and it was good of me. I think secretly, I think I have another one in the back of the closet, right? But this hat I wore on stage at Bioneers. I wore it at different gatherings. I wore it on the beach with the thing, and I wore it on stage for the Equinox thing. So it's there. But it was happy. So at the airport, I go, "You have done so well, lad. You know, here, this is your silk top hat," because his Saturn is that Jupiter degree. So we go, okay, very, very fun. All right, goodbye, Jerome. All right, now we go back to the chart. Okay, you're seeing it, right? I think it's doing such a strange thing, but if you're seeing it, that's good. It's good enough, and then I'll go recombobulate at some point. But so I do love this. So, but does anybody have any thoughts about what would they like to invite in? From backstage, I'll keep kind of priming the pump, right? But this is very much the idea of what's available to us to experiment with, to go into reverie, dedicated reverie, you know, on behalf of the Earth, you know, and negotiate across species borders, and to say, but in keeping with, you know, coyote trickster genius. You know, it really is. I know from negotiating with actual coyote, it's like you put an offer on the table. You know, how about this? You know, and then you go, all right, how about this and this? You know, we experiment by kind of tossing things into the dark. Right, the dark is rising now. You know, going, how about this? You know, and remember, Uranus is a part of us. That is nature's evolutionary trickster genius that has no category about success, fail. It's just try stuff. Believe nothing, entertain possibilities. I think that's really important because we don't want anything to degrade into superstition. Superstition or participatory symbolism, right? Superstition imprisoning, participatory symbolism liberating. Everything can be imprisoning or liberating. And so, yeah, So it's like try stuff, and you know I'm you know, may we all take ourselves more seriously and more playfully, right? More seriously, more playfully. Going, all right, these things I've been thinking for years or saying for years, let's tease it into embodied practice. We'll send out notes and guidelines and think of how we may well really want to do that together. Next week, you know, to go into a reverie, into an effective way, and proclaim our willingness and our availability. So, yeah, I think Badger is great and present. That's great. All right. So, all right. I'm just scrolling. All right. Okay. So does anybody want to chime in? Any old thing? Hello. Oh, people are leaving the room. All right. Okay, that's fine. But we do have a little Badger mojo to play with. Let me just put a little more on our work table that we can think of Badger as like, oh, won't give up. Won't give up. and in cahoots with Coyote Trickster, ingenuity will not give up. One of the things about both of those animals, you know, is that coyotes are relentless. Like the only creature I ever saw, not exactly defeat, but confound Stella Coyote, was a praying mantis. She could get anything because coyotes come up behind, right? And that's why dogs are really tripped out when they meet coyotes, because the coyote meets them and then comes around behind and bites their rear leg, you know, and the dogs are like, this is not in the dog rule book like at all. This is outrageous. And Stella Coyote thought it was witty to count coup, to come up behind somebody and just nip their ankles, going, I could have severed your Achilles tendon, you know, but I didn't. So she could get almost anything, but the praying mantis, she couldn't get behind it, you know, because it did that praying mantis kung fu, right? It's a whole kung fu thing. And she couldn't get behind it. And I just want to put this as part of our dance skill set for navigating now, for dreaming the news, for participating in the dangerous adventure of now, going, the praying mantis, the coyote could not get behind it. And they did this dance, dancing. The equinox is about dancing in the center. You know, and it was great at the equinox event, everybody was dancing, and people were astounded at the very end because we did this rousing thing. So the praying mantis was dancing. Stella was trying to get behind it. And then after maybe a half hour of this, Stella bowed, I think really bowed in respect, and trotted off. And it's like, well, that was really, really impressive. So badgers, but that was unusual, because usually coyotes just, they will keep going. Badger keeps going. You know, badger medicine, you know, persists on helping. And it's got a trickster kind of quality, the coyote badger. So we're expanding our realm of where we find trickster, and it's unique to all of us. Well, it's in everything. And that's part of our skill set. Whatever we speak to in another is the part of them we're inviting to play, to dance with the corresponding part of ourselves. So I, you know, invite myself and others to speak to that in animals, to speak to that in plants, to speak to that in other people. And always remembering that Uranus, trickster genius, the last ideas associated with it are democracy, equality, synchronicity. And, you know, part of the meme that I carry is like years ago when I wondered, like, what are those democracy, equality, synchronicity? What do those ideas have to do with each other? Immediately events, you know, form themselves in such a way to animate exactly how that works, which is when we look down at somebody or up at somebody, there's no synchronicity magic. Just. Check this out for everybody for themselves, right? Believe nothing, entertain possibilities. But we all have different roles. I mean, I'm talking and you're going, but we all have different roles, you know, backstage and on stage. But our aspirational manner is to embody democracy. You know, that our manner of relating is straight, like, hey, how you doing? You know, or backstage negotiating, like, all right, you know, coyotes, you want this? How about this? Okay, how about do this? And when we do that, the rate of synchronicity increases dramatically. I have found this to be true. And this is such good strategic news, oh, dream news colleagues, because it means the Dementors of Doom, bless their little cuckoo hearts, because we are friends of their soul, we are friends of their accountability, Saturn, Moon Saturn, accountability, yes, come on in, accountability. So the Dementors may have more lawyers and money, but we all, sane, reverent people, and those who are not yet sane, reverent people, that's really the whole thing, you know, have synchronicity, the right conversation, the right thing at the right time. And there is a lot of that. When we speak of it, it increases in our lives. And that's why Jupiter and Uranus would say to each one of us, if we entertain the possibility that we're increasingly moving into a field, right now it's inward, but soon to be outward, of increased connective synchronicity, then we, Moon Saturn, wonder what is the quality of what we would like to connect with. That's the delicious you know, usefulness of gathering now, which and for each person off on their own to go, well, if we're moving into this field of connectivity in such a way that sometimes makes us bark with laughter, going, that was great, and that alleviates fear and reminds us that much of the fear was not needed, right? So we want to throw excess fear into the cauldron. You know, then, you know, then again, what is that quality? Because over and over again, you know, Saturn opposing my moon, I had like, how will this work? Oh, it worked great. And I remember Mark Twain saying, you know, worry is not preparation. It's like, oh, and Mark Twain saying, I've experienced many terrible things in my life, most of which never came to pass, right? And he could really say that because he had a lot of terrible things happen in his life. But again, the dark humor quipping is really crucial. So for even just to form the question, you know, the quest begins with questions, you know, and the wondering, like, what do I want to connect with? And what is a dream project I might have in mind? And how might that inner dedication magnetize people with related shared visions? We go, I'm going over here. Ben saying, pretty controversial, but I came across some really interesting reading about Indian reclamation of the swastika and how many cultures have had similars based on the movement of the Dipper constellation. I'm not sure if that wants to be talked about here. And that's a worthy thing. The power of symbols is essential, right? That's the whole thing. And symbol, story, who's got the story? And that's the Jupiter Uranus to awaken. So some say the Nazi swastika is going the other way. It's Widerschins, the Hindu one, which is all life. But yes, you know, research that for us. No, that is of import, because, you know, we're driving through Wisconsin and going, and here's the Republican farm, and here's the beautiful thing that came alive with cooperation. And, you know, and I go, oh my God, there's a Confederate flag right there. And they're like, yeah. Right. This is hardcore. Right. And it's also like, and I notice I haven't seen any Black people in Wisconsin, like at all, like none. And it's like, right. No, it's not yet magnetizing. It could, but not quite yet. There was a Confederate flag, for goodness. But yes, to reverse that symbol, and that's part of the conversation we've been having about, you know, anarcho, entheo, astro, animism, the combination. And we wouldn't use the anarchist word, really. We start diagnostic or even politically descriptive words to start a conversation, but I think throw them into the cauldron, because you know, in some ways what Organic Valley is doing with the community would be anarcho. So, you know, it's community self-organizing, but I think that's, you know, I think it's useful to refresh and not so much use the word socialist, but communitarian. You know, he's a communitarian. It's like, see, if people don't know what it is, there's no prison for the unexpected. So I think the replenishing of the thing. But yes, absolutely, the power of symbols. That's what that. No sense getting smoked on our strong suit. That's why we're here, right? Because the Dementors of Doom and Steve Bannon and stuff. Those are, you know, on purpose cultivated Black magicians for real. Steve Bannon, like the Rosicrucian stuff, and, you know, Hermetic mysticism and everything. And so to understand, you know, what's coming at it, and that's very Moon Saturn for each of us to be dedicated, you know, to cooperating with a powerful symbol derived from nature, as all those powerful symbols are. Yes. Thank you for taking that on, Ben. Of course, it's welcome. And we will go forth. We will go forth and research that. And how do we, you know, inhale that back in? And then even just in our micro, you know, how might you then have it moving the right direction, or the history, or what does this want to be? It wants to be a spiral, right? It got a spiral with teeth on it, you know. And liberating the story, liberating the symbols, liberating the words, you know, from any servitude to anything not dedicated to collective well-being, you know, and even conversing with the symbol, you know,
Can I briefly chime in?
Yes, please.
I'll share the posts and the readings that I found, but There's like a graphic that I'll share that's all these different cultures and have their, you know, different versions of this symbol. And the Jews, like, we have a swastika. And I was just like, Jewish swastika. I was like, never thought that would happen. And it was just, right. it was playful to like kind of inhale that back and be like, oh, like we got, you know, I'm playing with it. I'm kind of like dreaming into like, okay, like, what's the play here? Because it feels playful and like, oh, okay, gotcha. We have this too. And oh, we all have one. And I don't know. It's something, I don't know. I'm playing with
that's good. It's good. It's like, you know, playing. That's where Venus is, you know, the playing with the thing. And I do remember Vermin Supreme at the Republican convention. You know, later we had a disastrous Democratic convention attempt at things in which we got kicked out of the convention. But at the Republican convention, he was really playful that way. There was street action, and as the, you know, protesters, you know, and or some better word, and the police were lining up on their bicycles, you know, Vermin Supreme said, you gotta, you know, that's where you want to spiral the polarity. So he said to the police on their bicycles going, remember to do it like we rehearsed it, lads. And suddenly they were, it introduced this element where the police, you know, and then he started commenting on the bicycle skills of the different policemen. You in the back, not doing very well. You're doing very, very well. And suddenly they were in a different frame. They were just, now they were in fourth grade and they were being critiqued. And then when it got tense again, he had the crowd shout, give the cops a raise, give the cops a raise. And again, didn't know what to do with it. But with the symbols, see, also at one point there were people shouting, you know, white power, and people going, tight shower? No, white power. Anyway, so again, more like symbol. We have one too. Oh, you have one. Here's the Jewish swastika. Did you, you know, I think we don't know, but we're priming the pump, right? We're, you know, more like a swastika poker. I see your swastika and raise you one. And here's one that's, you know, here's the, you know, LGBTQ swastika. There we go. There's the thing. Everybody's got a swastika, which must be true. I really look forward. I will now part fully, now that I'm back and have some time of my own, possibly, knock on wood, I will go peruse the and participate in the Facebook thing and look forward to your post. Absolutely, definitely. That's really good. Yeah, because, you know, and you know, in waking and reading, you know, all that we're waking, I think part of underneath, remember the equality of the visible and the invisible, part of underneath, it's like, you know, a million years ago, we're studying tarot cards, power of symbols, and we would spend, you know, 2 weeks on each major arcana. This was just correspondence lessons, but really great. But we would find that whatever card we were on is how life organized itself. Whatever symbol we're on, we attract, you know, it's an understanding of its limiting and then understanding of its liberating dynamic. So liberating, you know, it was Pat Ewing who years ago, because she really likes Christianity, had started the good parts, had started, you know, this idea of liberating Christianity, meaning setting it free and also finding the liberating aspects of it. And I find liberating such a great gerund, right? You know, liberating astrology, we put it in front of our name, liberating Rita Fiedler, liberating Ben Bouvier, whatever, you know, liberating the swastika, liberating symbols, you know, as though, again, as though they are alive, like, would you like to be liberated? Remember the glyph of Uranus, it's just the little H with a circle, it looks like an archaic jail key. And that was also at the Equinox thing where, like I said, everybody has a gift bag, and we'll organize ours too, of course, a metaphoric gift bag in which there is, you know, a bag of liberating lightning to toss at any closed loop to turn it into a spiral. And then at the Equinox Council the next morning after the brunch, after the tour of the Valley Farms, you know, it also came to me. I said, you know, and we can use the liberating lightning on ourselves. And it's like, and that gave me delight too, going, right. Anytime we have some little circular thing that even we ourselves are bored with in our lives. We go, the metaphors are eager to help and most effective, you know, and the wondering. But yeah, liberating the swastika, carry on your splendid work, Ben. What a good idea. What do you want to be, you know, and how can you flee from those who would abuse you? Because it is the last time Jupiter and Uranus were together in Taurus was 1940. Right. So, you know, everything kind of going back there. And then, you know, yeah, well, what a good idea. So to think of these things, we have two little closing things. Right. You know, that's good. Elizabeth, I was waiting for somebody to bring that up and the solution. I'm wondering what we could use in the chart of now to help keep the government funded. Yes. It is brewing now. And I think it does require some trickster magic. Slightly circuitous. I hope to be able to come back here. So I was listening to the news about how the Ukrainians claimed that they had killed the Russian admiral of the Black Sea Fleet. And the Russians were like, no, we have an old video of him. He's clearly alive. You know, but the news people were saying, you know, that this would, they had not lost an admiral since 1940, you know, and it throws their capacity, the Russian capacity to freeze the Ukrainian economy by not letting grain out. This lets grain out. We go, Ben, okay, we're coming back. In the pretty splendid series Turn on AMC, a series about the Revolutionary War spies in the Revolutionary War, and it was all spies as really, really, really crucial. And it's a complex, really, really interesting series, historically accurate, but fantastically compelling. And but there, I learn a lot too. There was a guy, Robert Townsend, a Quaker who did not want to commit violence. And in the Revolutionary War, just cruel violence on all sides, just like horrific, you know, all wars, horrific things. But Robert Townsend was a Quaker and didn't want to do anything violent. So he, but in real life and in the series, he ran a pub in where the Redcoats generals and the Navy intelligence gathered at his bar, and he agreed to be a spy. And so his skill was underneath in the basement of the bar was the printing press where the British were publishing all their naval codes. Like when the red flag is raised, it means this, you know. And so he goes down and he discombobulates it all so that no one's are agreeing. And so what happens is the British fleet, like they're raising the red flag, but no, it should be the yellow. We don't know. They all start just going in circles and no one is killed or harmed, but the fleet is completely rendered impotent. And in thinking of that, going, you know, we want to invite a lot more trickster Quaker play into the Ukraine, you know, into the government, into all of that. And I think that's why we're experimenting without presumption or hubris, like, well, what can we do? You know, and I think, yeah, I mean, it's so important. I have it here on my notes. And of course, you wonderfully, Elizabeth, bring it up. The government shutdown looming, right? We go, well, since something's a conundrum going, right, because the latest thing is the Republicans are like, we're going to shut the government down unless you drop all charges against Trump. That's the thing, right? It's like, no, naughty, very bad. We're going to have to speak with you backstage and your soul. This is not why you were born and went through kindergarten and school to get here to do that. But oh, no. You know, and again, that quality, it's like, well, I think a Badger Coyote team visiting the Capitol, you know, would be useful. We just have a very quirky little tiny short badger cartoon that is thinking of what we want to introduce. Maybe let's just play that Richard backstage badger, the quirky little badger thing, just to hold all your dedications as this thing unfolds here. No, oh, that's the wrong one. Oh well. We're not. Well, that was the wrong one. But that's the one that I said always makes me seasick. But it'll do. Again, we work with everything. We work with everything. That's okay. That's very good. You get the gist of it there. But the other anyway, just a little kind of quirky badger thing that from that 20-year-old cartoon. But there was another one that was a little less disconcerting to myself. But anyway, we got that gist. So just for us to stir this. Thank you for being playful. In my arriving by airplane kind of quality self here, that's good. So what can we do to help keep the government funded? Let us wonder that, right? Let us introduce Badger and Coyote. Let us whatever. I think the conundrum. I mean, I think the reason we're gathering is that we look at can't figure that one out. And that's why always the default is if we don't know what to do, invite in the trickster quality that does, right? And I, again, these are so simple things, but I've found this to be true over and over again. I'm so annoyed. I'm so distressed. I don't know what to do. Invite in trickster. And it's like, oh, that's great. That's great. And part of our moving, now and into the wild ride already, but of, and diving into the dark of 2024 unfurling before us. But so much great things, so many great things, and so much proffered to us between the visible and the invisible. So, I always have a little Playmobil altar from way back, plastic figures and the Capitol. And I think it's good to, whatever amuses you, but to see the funding, honey is sacred to Venus, right? And somebody, we led ritual at the Equinox Council, and somebody had a grievance that was, or a tussle, an opposition with somebody in the neighborhood, and I go, well, all right, let's, pick a little object to represent this person, right? And then, you might put a little honey on it. And some wonderful, wonderful woman said, I brought honey for you. So we picked a magic stone. We put it around the fire, put honey on top of it to sweeten that person's heart. And we go, okay. So it's kitchen magic. It's symbolic magic. Anything we do that we just add dedicated symbolism to it by the having a drawing of the Capitol, by the circling it with cornmeal and honey, may it be that sane, reverent, common sense, pour in and in some form it becomes funny. And anything up to no good, may it boomerang in a way that becomes humorous and liberating, however we want to play with that. So we will cogitate further on these deep things, the power of symbols. And then we have just audio ending, but I think it's so wonderful, and it's very Jupiter Uranus and what we want to do. It's like Martine Prechtel says, think of the divine as like a puppy licking your chin going, jump up and live, jump up and live. And the Jupiter Uranus is very, let's connect with vitality. My friend Jerome, who was, I decided he wanted to die several years ago, and then was sort of whatever, and he produced this incredible week for me, and he's jumping around, you know, everybody noticed, right? And this quality of like, no, it's interesting. We're in the infinite game, you know, finite and infinite games, great book. Finite game about winning, infinite game about keeping everything in play. So our wonder and our dedication, backstage says wonder and dedication and curiosity is sufficient for now. You know, we'll to experiment with these things. So here's, you know, Bernard Johnson. It's just audio, but it's very wonderful. He does jazz gospel saxophone. And I think of the saxophone's really got the coyotes and the wolves howling, you know, and it's so full of like upbeat yearning there. I think upbeat yearning is a good sacrament for us. So we shall head out on Bernard Johnson. It's just audio, but rock out to ourselves. You know, here we go. I'm alive.
Are you alive out there? I said, are you alive out there? What we've got? Well, get all in your hands and make you wave your hands sometimes. We'll get in your feet and make you run when ain't nothing running behind you. It'll get in your belly and make you rub your belly. It'll get in your shoulders and make you twitch your shoulders. And if you got a big head, it'll get in your big head and make you shake your big head. I said, are you alive?
Thank you, team.